What does it mean to step out in faith? Hello, welcome to Good Word. I am David Thomas, your host. Again, we are in the process of spending 13 weeks looking at the question of mission, particularly Christian mission. I have with me my two conversational partners, Brant Berglin and Paul Dibdall, colleagues from the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. And gentlemen, the lesson today is focused on the experience of Abraham. In fact, the official title of the lesson is Abraham, the First Missionary. I would dispute the fact that he was the first missionary, but that's how it is set up here. And of course, the foundational passage of Scripture for Abraham, I think, in terms of missional intent, is Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And you can read it for us again, Brant.
All right. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in all the families of the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran."
Wow. So what are the parameters that you think we should talk about in this, in that passage of Scripture? Any of them that come to mind right away?
I'll get us started maybe with just the mention. I think there's actually some interesting parallels with the creation account in this calling of Abram. There's something new which is happening here, and the text, I think, in various ways reminds us of that the very beginning. So this beginning harkens back to the very beginning, and several things. There are seven promises that are given, so you could think of the parallels of the days of creation. And then you have the repeated blessing. In creation, God creates and blesses, and here we have the blessing. And if you think of what happens at the end of creation with the curse, we even have an echo of that. So the creation of the world, and now God is about the business of creating a people that will serve as representatives, conduits, through whom he wants to reach all the peoples of the world.
I never heard that before, Paul.
And Paul, you're starting at the beginning. I'd like to draw out something that this is also a parallel here to the end, to the book of Revelation, when God calls his people out of Babylon. And here, Abraham is being called out of that region of the world into the promised land, what will become the promised land. And he has a purpose and a mission for that call as well.
Wow. So you gentlemen have taken us to the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible. I'm going to come in at the middle. Well, go ahead, Paul.
I was also going to say I didn't want us to move on before noting that final – basically what God does, the opening verses, Brant, that you read, Abraham is going to lose some things, land, family, heritage,
home,
those sorts of business.
Reputation, yeah.
Then comes the call and the promises, which are to replace that which will be lost. You'll be given a land and heritage and descendants and so forth. And that last line, all peoples or all families on earth will be blessed through you, I think it's important to understand. We often will read that in an individualistic way, like each individual on the earth. And that's not inaccurate, but that's not what the text is saying.
Right.
Every ethnic group, every family, every nationality, every clan on earth will be blessed through you. So here we see God's missionary intent to reach all peoples, every family on all of creation. That's the target audience, so to speak.
Which, of course, shows up again in the Great Commission, which we'll talk about some weeks from now. But I like this passage. I want to reflect on a slightly different one. Is that I have a friend who suggested to me that the Bible has two divisions other than the Old Testament and the New Testament. He said the first division is from the fall, and actually he would probably say three divisions, the story of paradise in the beginning. But then you have from Genesis 3 to 11, which is all bad news. And then you come to Genesis 12, and his division is Genesis 3 to 11 and Genesis 12 to the end of Revelation. And the reason for that is that here, for the first time, we see God specifically appointing, asking somebody to become an agent, an identifiable agent of his on planet Earth. And as Paul has pointed out, the promise that was made to Abraham was not just for himself, but through him the whole world would be blessed. Mm-hmm. And I am intrigued by the dynamic that Abraham faced. What is it like to be in a place and have a very clear sense that you should go somewhere else that is unknown, that is promised to you? And, I think this is why Abraham's called a man of great faith, is that he leaves, as you said, Paul, he leaves his settled domain where he's doing well, apparently, and he's 75, mm-hmm. and he goes out to wander across the dry lands of the Middle East, which weren't as dry then as they are now, but to go to a place that God promised him. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that? That to me is kind of powerful.
Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I grew up in Central California, and I remember when I received a call to become a pastor here in Washington State when I graduated from Walla Walla University, and I received a call to go to Alaska. It was another country. It was a brand new experience for me, and the sense of God's leading made the call to 45 below zero in Fairbanks, Alaska, very worthwhile, knowing that God was leading. And if Abraham had that sense, we see him packing his bags.
Yeah, but you understand it, and I like that story, Brent, because you go without knowing.
Mm-hmm. No clue what I was getting into.
Yeah, but you go based on an invitation, and yours is a response of trust and faith and believing that you will go, and God, by his providences, will work things out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See? And I see that in Abraham. And, of course, when you get into the New Testament, Abraham becomes a fabled individual. I like that phrase in Hebrews that talks of him as one who looked for a city with foundations, whose builder and architect is God. And so he becomes a trans-historical figure that I think he becomes an archetype, if I can use that word, of all missionary peoples, right? That you go from your settled place based on this sometimes strange calling of God, mm-hmm. and you go to a place that you don't know, and, mm-hmm. and you go there to work, and in the providence of God, things begin to work and make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were back to this passage again. The location. I don't think God was just calling Abraham to go just sort of for the sake of
wandering,
for the sake of uprooting him.
Yeah.
But I think there's something strategic about the place where Abraham settles, in that I know, Brant, you may have something to add here, in that it was not a heavily populated
area.
But it was along a central trade route, population centers to the north and the south. So Abraham is sort of put right at the crossroads, so to speak, of the ancient world that people would run into him and would find out about his God. So God was purposeful, I think, in this calling of Abram.
Yeah, I've often wondered how empty the land was. You know, I have this imagining that many in that era, that there were not that many people on planet Earth to fill it up like they are today. Mm-hmm. But I was reflecting on this a little earlier and wondering. Somebody once pointed out to me that Abraham was the father of three generations of liars. When you think about how he lied, and then his son lied, and his grandson lies, mm-hmm. It's not a very charitable picture of Abraham. But here we have an imperfect and a frail man who is still pointed out as being the archetype of missions. Any reflections on the frailties of humans and missional activity?
I think it should give us hope that God can use people that are not perfect, that have failings, and still accomplish something through them. You know, I've heard people say, well, God, you can only share what you already have. And I understand that sort of sentiment. But I think it's possible for God to use even someone, even a hypocrite, even an evangelist who perhaps is secretly immoral. I think people can still come to faith through that person's ministry. God can use donkeys and birds in Scripture. He can use a fallible and imperfect human being.
And I think you can share more than you have, not because of you, but because of the way God
uses
it.
That's right.
And the Apostle Paul, in fact, says that in Philippians, that he says, there are some who preach Christ for sordid gain. He says, doesn't matter as long as Christ is preached. That's what I care about. So,
you know, I knew somebody years ago who was preaching. He was in the preaching business, and he fell prey to a counseling situation and started having an affair, but it wasn't known, and so he continued to preach. And even though he felt very hypocritical, and one day while he was preaching, a woman came to faith. His sermon resulted in the conversion of somebody, and he was so shocked by that, he said, I can't do this anymore. He said, I can't do this anymore. So your point is interesting. If you were a missionary, how would the story of Abraham help you?
God did what he said he would do. He upheld his end of the bargain, and so I think it makes the sense of calling when somebody hears, and I don't know how God speaks to everyone. I don't even know how God spoke to Abraham here, if it was a distinct voice, it was a dream or a vision. Scripture doesn't say, but when God calls, there's a sense in which God is faithful to his end of the promise, and that should give us some comfort.
You know, my opening question is, what does it mean to step out in faith? And do you think Abraham provides a good example of that?
I think so, absolutely.
See, I am fascinated when I think of this, of this man leaving his place and wandering after the calling of God, going around until the promised land became apparent, you know. And of course, that takes on symbolic value when we come to the New Testament, right? That we are still looking for a promised land, and a city that has foundations. What about the passage in Scripture that talks about Abraham ordering his family after him? We have a minute or two here. Anything about that? Is that something that missionaries should think about? And by the way, that's King James or English. I don't think he's talking there about giving orders out.
What, just the nature of the missionary call as being a kind of family call that affects the whole family? Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the case, that missionaries sometimes are called and obey as individuals, but most of us do find ourselves in a family system. And I think in those cases, the calling probably needs to be a kind, there needs to be a corporate kind of acceptance of that of that calling as a family.
Yeah, otherwise it can be quite damaging, you know.
I think so,
Well, it is interesting to think also that Abraham shows up as a significant person in all three of the great monotheistic religions. He's all of them, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, look back to him as an archetype or a man of great faith. So, well, gentlemen, thank you very much. As we've talked about Abraham, not the first missionary, but certainly the first official agent through whom God intended to bless. And thank you for sharing your ideas. My thanks also to our engineer, David Olson. And my thanks to you for listening. For Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.